book for this episode is entitled The Sleep Solution by W. Chris Winter, MD. As the title suggests, this one is a non-fiction about fixing your sleep and the reason behind fixing it. This is a random pick for our 2020 reading list, for I think there is a need for me to be better at sleeping. I'm a good sleeper overall, but at times I feel that I had damaged much of my sleep habits for many reasons. Reading this book is not a quick fix to insomnia or any sleeping disorder, but it can help. Quick background of the author: as all books related to health, he is super qualified to write this book, for he is a sleep doctor, a neurologist, and a family man. Why do I have to say that? Because it amazes me that, you know, almost all doctors that write or become successful in their careers are family men who dedicates their books to their wives. See? I read acknowledgments and dedications. Back to the review part of this book. I know some are uninterested about the sleep-related books because who has difficulty sleeping nowadays? It's like we are all sleep deprived. We sleep in public transportations, church during mass, and many other places like in cinemas or school library. But there is a percentage of the population that suffers with sleep problems, and that's what this book is for. Think about it. Sleep doctors was never in my vocabulary. I never thought they existed, but they do. And I have high respects for them because of this book. For sleepy people is a small niche, and still, they choose that over hundreds of subspecialties that could make them more rich. So the copyright is 2017. That's just 3 years ago. So we can expect from this book the latest information. It is important, by the way, for you readers to check the copyright year for books like this, medical related. For if what you are reading is published for like about 10 years ago, medical practices might have changed already, and what information you are taking in have been already proven to be an obsolete practice. So take note of that. I particularly read books related to medicine at least published 5 years ago, or better yet, read the latest edition. In the first part of the book, it was mainly an opening conversation with your doctor. Imagine having a doctor's appointment, except that it is unhurried, no other patients waiting behind the line, and you're not going to pay for any expensive professional fee. And certainly, you're not going home with a prescription pad. This is what I experienced with this book, and I think it will also be just as the same as others who had read this book. When you read a book written by a doctor, all you have to expect that they are going to talk about their experience in med school. Yes, because that's where their lives had revolved. I am not saying that it's a bad thing. Actually, it's interesting because we are people who are naturally suckers for stories. Why a person ended up a doctor is always a good story to hear any time of the day. In the content about sleep, what I had understood from reading the book was that most people misdiagnose themselves. What I mean is, there is too much ado over sleep issues that they do not actually have. It's common among doctors to be irritated when patients visit their clinics complaining over something, or that they have this illness because they had Googled their symptoms. Please don't do that. I understand that you take part in informing yourself about your condition, but Google is not the right way to do that. Visit your doctors, or at least ask a health professional like nurses. Do not diagnose yourself and insist on the diagnosis. If you have no sleep problem, you cannot read this book. Maybe just choose some boring books and then it will put you to sleep just as well. But if you think you are suffering, or someone, maybe your spouse or your dog, tells or barks respectively that something is not right with your sleep, then be a sleep doctor's guest. When you're already on this book, you will certainly know things related to sleep, like the stages, circadian rhythms, the insomnias, and other sleep disorders. Plus, there are products in here that you can check out to help you sleep. The product suggestion part of the book might be a lifesaver for you. I personally had found a solution to my laptop's light before I had to borrow my sister's glasses to filter the blue light. But now, I had downloaded an app called F.Lux, that is F.Lux, which has different modes of lighting. At night, I am using the dark theme and blue light filter. It's amazing, but it's just something new, so I could not still give a full account about it. It just makes my Mac look a little sophisticated though, and it's not heavy on my storage. For about 4.5 MB, you had filtered the blue light and saved yourself bucks for blue light filtered glasses, and could help your eyes feel sleepy easily during the night. Moving on, it was a good reminder from Dr. Winter, the author, that we all do actually sleep. It may not be long or good, but we all do sleep. It's also important that at least we could know sleep stages, because it might help out to clear some misconceptions. And using the wrong terms. Please stop spreading wrong terms, which is why I am being careful. Okay? Do not use deep sleep when you're referring to a nightmare because you saw your ex in your dreams. So, if you were not keen on reading long books like this, there are chapter reviews of the book, which I am using as a reference in this podcast because I am no genius to remember everything that I had read, but I have a pet peeve for the writing of this book. And this is just the ignorant in me talking. Actually, the thing is, I don't understand. Some of the references are what I call the quick stories the doctor had written about. It's maybe too American. Or am I being racist? But I enjoy reading the section about cutting-edge science. This is where most new findings and studies or research is written. It's about short, but who wants to read an entire research paper anyway? If there is one thing I wanted the writer to extrapolate in this book, is that about shift workers' sleeping habits. I believe he mentioned that there are still few research on this, and the reason probably there were few information about it. I am particularly interested because I had worked in shifts for like 2 years. I know some of my co-workmates who are taking antihistamine to help them fall asleep, and others taking melatonin. By the way, there are drugs that are mentioned also in this book, but some are not available for you, sorry, because they need prescription. But there are limited studies about these drugs. So, there are claims that antihistamine's side effect truly is sleepiness, but it has also a graver side effect, which is dementia. And I know that some people don't know about this. Nowadays, working at night or at ungodly hours is common in many different companies, for the reason that some companies function globally, meaning you may be working in Asia, but your clients are in the USA or vice versa. So our technology is becoming advanced, but humans do not advance like technology. We have the same anatomy and physiology as the same humans that had lived before a time where electricity was never invented yet. So how do we adjust, particularly in sleeping, in a way that will improve one's health and life? I think the answer is what I will look for in future sleep books. Now we move on to the final quick takeaways on the book. Anxiety and stress could be the main factors why you are not sleeping well. You might have to work on the source of these issues so that your doctor could help you, or you could at least help yourself. Number two is maybe you need a person to help you lessen your anxieties or fears. You need to work out on lessening your worries and think about what you can control and what you cannot. Next is sleeping pills should be taken with caution, or should not be taken at all. This I believe is true. Like all other drugs, you have to be very careful with the word dependency. And you have to be extra careful if your family physician prescribes it to you right away. Fourth takeaway is wake up at the same time every day. Well, this is something we are terrible at because weekends have a 2 to 3 hours extension of sleeping time, right? Fifth is it's best to have a sleep schedule and stick to it. And the 8 hours of sleep is a myth. The ideal time is different for everyone. Plus, it's also about the quality of the sleep that you get at night. Sixth is there is a science and art in napping. Read the book because an entire chapter is dedicated on that. By the way, cats have no problems in this. Adopt one so you will have a nap buddy. Seventh takeaway is contrary to what I have read before, you can actually pay for your sleep debt, but you have to do it the soonest time possible. Otherwise, the interest will be higher and you'll never be able to pay your sleep debt ever. Eighth is not being able to stay awake is also a problem. Well, it truly is a problem when you are in the middle of something serious. Ninth and last takeaway, but not the least, take it from the doctor. Quote, achieving great sleep can take time, unquote. I have taken you to a quick book journey of another health-related book entitled The Sleep Solution by Dr. Winter. Until next time, I hope you all could have a nice sleep and a refreshing waking moment. Thanks for listening.